You're going to get a lesson on birds and strength as I talk to you about how you can fly like an eagle and the strength that it exhibits. So if you have your Bibles, turn into Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Speaking of strength, a sideshow strong man, he was exhibiting some strength as the final trick of his act. And so he squeezed the juice from a lemon between his hands. And then he offered $10 to anyone in the audience who could squeeze a single drop that was left out of it. And so several husky men, they stepped up and wandered their way up to the stage, and they tried to do it to no avail. And finally, this small little bespeckled man timidly stepped up from the back of the audience and came up on the stage, and he took the lemon in his hand and, to the delight of the audience, managed to squeeze one more drop from the lemon. And as the strong man was paying him the $10, he asked, "What's the secret of your strength? How did you manage to get that last drop of that lemon out?" And, "Oh," the man replied, he said, I was the treasurer of Highland Park Church for over 30 years. So, you know, there's secrets of all kinds of strength. And, oh, you know, 30 years may seem like a long time, but over a period of time, you'll be surprised at the endurance you can build up. You know, time and history records that this particular man I'd like to tell you about had some humble beginnings. He grew up in a small village. He was an ordinary boy that didn't draw very much attention to himself. And like most boys, he attended school and he worked in the family business and he did his best to grow strong and healthy. And deep inside, though, however, he knew he had a special purpose, a destiny to fulfill. And as he grew older, people began to notice that there was something special about this young man. He had a special charisma. He was gifted like none other, and it wasn't any time before he started attracting crowds. Thousands came to listen to him, and he chose a small, special band of loyal companions who traveled with him everywhere he went. And many of them, matter of fact, have given up their jobs to be with him and take care of his needs, and his fame grew far and wide, and some even grew jealous of him. Others thought that he was leading people astray, and so they plotted against him. But his popularity only increased while he was doing that. He touched the lives of young and old alike, and he brought joy and laughter to the weak and downhearted, and many hailed him as king. But toward the end of his life, he suffered quite a bit. Some who had followed him fell away and turned to worshiping others, and he died alone. Those closest to him were left discouraged and confused, and they never really expected his life to end that way. Soon after his death, though, rumors were that he didn't really die. His followers spread the news around that he lives. They said that he said he's not dead. Some claim that they actually saw him. Even today, many believe that he's still alive. By now, you probably figured out who I'm talking about. His name was Elvis Presley. You see, if you word things generally enough, you can find a lot of similarities between the life of Jesus and the life of Elvis. In fact, you can find a lot of similarities between Jesus and yourself. That's because Jesus was a human being just like you. He was fully God and he was also fully human. But that's where the similarities end, however. Because while Elvis, he came to sing, and Jesus came to save that which was lost. And even though both men were great and both men left a definite impact on our world, only one king came to save it. But both, however, demonstrated what we admire about our great American bird, the eagle, of which I'd like to discuss its characteristics today. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 30 that the eagle is too wonderful for me to describe. When he said, "Behold the way of the eagle, In other words, he said, it just blows my mind when I think and study the eagle. Well, what's so special about the eagle, you may ask? Well, number one is how well it sees. It has great vision. Everybody say great vision. I mean, from the height of 2 miles, it can see its prey in the air because it has matchless vision. It can see things other people cannot see and other creatures cannot see because of its magnificent vision. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18 that without a vision, the people perish. Because when you have no vision for the future, you have no power in the present. And when people in a church or in an organization or in a city or even a nation, they have no vision for the future, they become powerless in the present. And the eagle is superb because, number one, it has great, matchless vision. I mean, the eagle can plummet from the heavens as it speeds up to 100 miles per hour. And it sees its prey with its wingspan up to 7.5 feet. Some species of eagles have been known to pick up its prey as big as baby antelope and even pick it up because of its strong, powerful wings, its power, and its powerful vision. It's able to see it from that far up. And also, there's something about the nature of an eagle that it refuses to scavenge and eat its food that's dead. It will only eat living things. It will only feast on fresh meat. It will not feed on dead things because it's an eagle. And the eagle is faithful. An eagle, like the dove, it mates for life. And when I think of about the person that's saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, we are to be like the eagle. We are to be strong. We are to see things that other people cannot see. We are to be faithful to our mates and to our Lord and to our families. And we are not to feast on dead things. We are to have an appetite for something that's fresh and something alive and not death. And it's because of this we have a higher way of living. And because of that change that Jesus has made in our life. And you see, if you're an eagle, you're interested in living at a higher level. I'm not interested in just scraping by. I want to live at a higher level. How about you? I'd like to elevate 3 qualities this morning to you that an eagle has that will hopefully help you live at a higher level. Proverbs chapter 23 in verse 5, the Bible says this about eagles. Solomon said that riches are uncertain. They can fly away as an eagle. Listen to the words, flies toward the heavens. The first point is this. Keep looking upward. There's something about the way that the eagle flies toward the heavens that's different than any other bird. You see, an eagle sets its eyes toward the heavens. One translation says it flies toward the sun. A human would go blind, but an eagle has 2 sets of eyelids that allows it to gaze into the sun. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 5, verse 31, that our God is like the sun that rises in all its strength. Our God is like the sun that rises in all its strength. So we need to know where our help comes from. We need to understand that it comes from up there. And our help does not come from down here. We're like the eagle. We need to understand that when problems are chasing us, we need to fly into the sun. S-O-N. We need to set our gaze on things above. The old apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affections on things above. Listen to how the Message Bible terms it. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed in the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to the things around Christ and what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is, and see things from His perspective. I love this. The righteous learn to look up. God designs you to look up. God did not design you to look down. God did not design you to be depressed. He didn't design you to be hopeless and defeated. He didn't design you to dig a hole in the valley and to bury your head in it and say, it's over. But he said, I'm high and I'm lifted up. Let me tell you where you will find God. You won't find him down there. You'll find him when you look up. And you'll find him when you look to the hills and from where comes your help. The Lord will be your help. But notice where he is. He's high and he's lifted up. And when you learn to look up and lift high the name of Jesus, that's where you'll find him, soaring gracefully. There's two times the eagle has the ability to look into the heavens. One is when the storm comes. You see, when the storm comes, turkeys roost, but eagles fly. Which are you? Turkeys run and hide, but eagles soar into the sky. Turkey-like people run around. When there's problems in their marriage, they run from place to place. But eagle-like people, they rise to the occasion. When an eagle senses a storm is coming, he spreads his wings and he challenges the storm. And I just believe that when Jesus is inside of you, when storms come your way, and everybody, whether you have Christ inside you or you don't, listen, storms come for everybody. But let me tell you, when you have Christ in you, you don't have to be defeated by storms. It doesn't have to tear you up because it can carry you up. There's something in us that ought to challenge us in every storm. I can handle this. I was built for this. Greater is he that is in me. I can do all things in Christ. And when the storms come, we're not turkeys that roost. We're eagles that spread our wings and say, this will take me higher than I've ever been before. Another time it uses its gaze into the heavens is when its enemies come. And the eagle has one enemy, one natural enemy, and it's called the condor. It's the world's heaviest bird of prey. It weighs 25 pounds and it has a wingspan of about 10 feet. 10 feet. Now, our soundstage back there is about 14 to 16 feet wide, so you knock off about 2 feet on each edge, and that'll give you about the wingspan of a condor. And like its cousin, the buzzard, it feeds on dead things. And it despises an eagle that feeds on living things. It will catch an eagle in flight, and it will wrap its claws in that eagle. And it will stop using its massive wings, and it will let its weight, because he's so strong and he's so powerful and he's so heavy, and he will let his weight pull that eagle down. And because the condor knows one thing about that eagle, the only way to defeat this eagle is to get him to that ground. The condor knows, if I can get him down there, not up here, but if I can get him down there, he'll win. And the only way I can defeat him is if I can get him on the ground. And if an enemy can get you down, and if you agree to stay down, it's a matter of time before he defeats you. You've got to have one of these attitudes. Either I'm up or I'm getting up. If somebody asks you how you're doing today, just say, I'm up or I'm getting up. I mean, what's 5 more yards when you've been through hell? You got to keep on going. And don't stay down. Because your enemy knows, if he can get you down, I can defeat you. Somebody needs to get up this morning. Somebody needs to realize you're still alive. You know, there's times when I may sulk about things in my life. Money issues, depression, whatever's going on in my life, whatever. But all of a sudden I'll see on the news, a lady has just lost her child in a local farm pond and she's crying frantically. And all of a sudden, my problems have just become a lot smaller. The eagle knows that sometimes it's time for fight and sometimes it's time for flight. And the eagle It turns its eyes toward the sun when it sees that big old condor coming and trying to pull it down. It turns its eyes toward the sun and flies straight toward the sun, because it knows that condor cannot look at the sun, but the eagle can. And the eagle turns its eyes toward the sun and begins to fly toward the heavens. And I want to say to somebody today, don't fight it out down here. Your battle's not with flesh or blood. If everybody's throwing mud, then all you're doing is losing ground. Don't go down to the level of your enemies. Stay up here and keep your eyes on the sun, because God's will for you is to be up and not down, the head and not the tail, the above only and not the beneath. My second point is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. That's in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, it says, "As the eagle stirreth up over its nest, over its young, spreading its wings, taking them up, carrying them on, over its wings, so the Lord would do to you." My second point is this: let God carry you on His wings. You see, not only do the eagles fly toward the heavens, but the eagle will build its nest in the heights, out of twigs and branches. And it will line it with fur and rabbits that it's killed and animals that it's hunted. And its nest is so comfortable. The nest feels so good. It feels so warm. And that nest, and that little eagle, it just gets in that nest and that fur all around, and it opens its mouth. And the little mama bird comes, and it's interesting that the daddy bird stays in the nest. And that just, well, the mama bird goes out and hunts. And I didn't know that until I researched this, but that just must mean that women can hunt better than men can. But I don't know, but there will come a point where that daddy eagle will get fed up with that little eaglet just enjoying the comfort zone of that nest. And that mom and dad eagle, there will come a certain point in time where they say, it's time to move that thing out of this nest. And so they'll begin to pluck that fur out of that nest. And then all of a sudden, that little darling eaglet will start to feel those little thorns and twigs in that nest. And that little eaglet will start saying, "Ow, this kind of hurts, and it can't lay comfortably there anymore." And that food stops coming on a regular basis. And suddenly, it's kind of painful to be in that nest. And so some of you know what it's like for God to break up your nest. And it was so comfortable. You thought that you could stay in that nest the rest of your life. And when many times God's going to do something fresh in your life, He'll move you out of your comfort zone. And He'll move you out of that safe and secure place that you'd created for your life and say, "Come on out and take a walk on the wild side. Come out and move out. You've done that long enough." And many times you don't volunteer to go out on that new season. So God has to pluck your fur out. And we start feeling those thorns in our nest. And it's at that moment that eagle, that little eaglet, starts making its greatest discovery. And it finds out that it's better to sleep on the rock than remain in the nest. Because the nest is temporary, but the rock is everlasting. And some of you may not understand everything that's going on, and your nest has been torn up in this economy, but I've got news for you. The nest was never your source. It's better to be resting on the rock, Jesus Christ, because nests can change, but the rock is everlasting. And so that daddy eagle will take that little eaglet up on its back, up at about 15,000 feet in the air, and all of a sudden it will flop over without any flying lessons to that little eaglet. There's no flying lessons, there's no classes, there's no FEA, Federal Eagles Association. Come on, give me a little encouragement this morning. You've got to learn to You've got to learn the way mommy and daddy learned. I mean, you've got to learn to fly into the sun when the enemy's coming against you. You know, I wish we could shield our children from stuff, but every generation has to learn the stove is hot for themselves. Sooner or later, they got to get burned and learn the lesson. And that poor little eaglet, it goes down squawking, head over heels, falling and falling and falling. And just before it hits the rocks and thinks it's going to die, that daddy eagle swoops down in strong wings and scoops him up. And that little eaglet starts to say, "Ooh, thank God, Dad. I'm so glad you came to your senses. What's wrong with you? Take me back to that nest." And the daddy eagle says, "You haven't learned your lesson yet. Let me try that again." And that poor little eagle has started squawking and falling and falling. And the process happens over and over again until something internal kicks in. And it dawns on the eagle, I was born to do more than sit in a nest. I was born to do more than hop from rock to rock to rock. I was born to do more than be fed from my mommy and my daddy. But there is a nature in me that wants to fly. But is that little eaglet learning to fly yet? No. It's learning this lesson, that the father eagle can fly faster than it can fall. And you need to learn that lesson this morning, that God can fly faster than you can fall. You need to understand that you're safe and God's got you. And even when you're tumbling and it feels like your world's out of control, God sent me here today to tell you that He can fly faster than you can fall. He knew Adam would fall in the Garden of Eden, but he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, because God can fly faster than you can fall. He knew that famine was coming, so he put Joseph in Egypt with silos of corn, because he can fly faster than we can fall. He knew that you would lose your job. He knew that you would go through hard times. He knew that you would get a bad doctor's report. But I want to tell you that even if you feel like you're tumbling and falling, God can fly faster than you can fall, because He's a good God. When you put your faith in Him and give Him praise, because He's that kind of a Father. You need to tell somebody that you were born to fly. You know, in our story, Vernon Presley tried to fly faster than Elvis could fall. You know, he hired two former narcotics agents to follow Elvis around because he knew Elvis was addicted to prescription pain meds. He hired doctors that would prescribe those to him because of his constant busy lifestyle. But Elvis wouldn't allow that. He threatened to fire his father from the income that he gave him and basically shut him out of his life. He wouldn't let his father fly faster than he could fall. But God promises to fly faster than we can fall if we let Him. Don't worry yourself silly about yesterday, about that nest that's falling apart. It's just proof that God's doing something new in your life. Change is an indication that God's working in your life. Change isn't a bad thing. Change is an indication that you're next in line. My final point is this, found in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Many of y'all know that one from heart. My Bible almost fell to that one. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Point number three is renew your strength in Christ. You need to say, that one's for me. Just look at your neighbor and say, this one's mine. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. That's talking about renewing of an eagle. Observers say that's like at some point the eagle remembers its past life. The eagle, after a long process of having its beak molded together, calcium deposits, its wings, feathers falling out, its oil glands dry up, it loses weight in its shoulders, it looks sickly, but something in it remembers its past life, and the eagle will back up and it will recognize that it used to be king of the air. And it will recognize that something has got to happen And so it begins its way back to the rocky perch. And what it will do, it will hop from rock to rock. And sometimes it takes weeks to climb that mountain that way. But it will hop with its calcium deposits on its beak. It can't even make any noise. It's just trying to get higher and higher to that rocky perch. It takes days, it takes weeks, it may even take up to a month to get to that rocky perch. And while it's climbing up on its way up there, it's plucking out those old feathers one by one. It plucks them out. All of that past, all of that pain, plucks all of those feathers out. And then it will take its beak and it will begin to pound it against that rock. And they say it's a bloody process. It's an awful looking process. As this eagle begins to pound its beak against that rock, breaking up those calcium deposits until that beak will basically fall off. And then there's a new beak. Suddenly the mouth that was shut and sealed is open again. Suddenly the feathers are coming in again and the oil glands are flowing again. It's renewing, and you can look, and laying by the rock is all of the old addictions of the eagle. You could say all of the old eagle is laying there. The old feathers, the broken calcium deposits, the rock has taken care of that. And now the eagle feels alive again, and he's been through a lot, but he feels alive again. The oil is flowing, and it's got its coat back, and it's got its beak back. And I guess, do you need to be renewed? Do you need to feel the warmth of the sun again? Has it been a long, tough battle for you? Do you feel like you've been beaten up and maybe your praise silenced? If you are, you're in that place that Isaiah said that you could get a miracle. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And then all of a sudden, observers say it's a remarkable thing, but the eagle will sense a lift. He'll just sense it all of a sudden. And he'll spread out his wings on that rocky perch, and the eagle will feel a renewal, and he'll launch out and he'll reclaim the heights. Every creature in the valley below knows that something's going on when they hear this ear-piercing screech of the renewed eagle in the sky. Because it was low and it was brought down. But the eagle has taken all of that yesterday's trash off. And now it's soaring high again. And it opens its beak and it screams out to the Creator who it is again. You know, I wonder what would have happened if Elvis would have renewed himself. I don't know. You know, this Friday will be 36 years since he died, because on 2 o'clock, 36 years ago almost, he was found dead of a heart attack. He had diabetes. He lived a rough lifestyle from constantly being busy. And I don't know if he would have just renewed himself, taken time, slowed down, and just went back to that rocky perch and let the rock take care of him. If he'd still be alive today, I don't know. We can think about it all we want, but that's not of any importance. The point is today is you and I about being renewed. I want to say watch out, because there's a bunch of renewed eagles coming. People who've been through battles and struggles. You know, a nature lover was walking through the countryside when he came up on this farm. And he walked up to this fence in this barnyard. And he saw lots of chicken and geese walking around it and wandering and scratching about. And then he noticed one bird in particular didn't fit in. And he looked a little bit more closely, and more oddly enough, it was a young eagle, the king of all birds. And so this nature lover, he climbed over the fence and walked in the barnyard, and he found the farmer, and he said, "Sir," he said, "I'm a nature lover, and do you realize what kind of bird you have here?" And the farmer said, "Why, but yes, I do." He said, it's an eagle. And the nature lover replied, he said, "Why is that eagle, the king of all birds, scratching around on the ground with the chickens, eating and acting like a chicken? Why is he doing that?" And the farmer said, "Why, when this bird was very young, its mother had abandoned it. It abandoned it, so it just kind of grew up in the barnyard, and so I treated it like a chicken. And so now this eagle thinks it's a chicken." And the nature lover said, "Well, that's terrible." He said, "This is an eagle, the king of all birds. It should be soaring and not groveling on the ground like these chickens." And the nature lover said, "Do you mind, sir, if I take this young eagle and convince him of his destiny?" And the farmer said, "Sure." He said, "I don't care what you do with him. He doesn't lay any eggs. He's not helping me any around here." So the nature lover, he grabs this eagle and he takes it and he walks to the center of the barnyard and he holds the eagle high up in the sky. And he says to the bird, he says, "You're the king of all birds," he says, "stretch out your wings and fly." And at that moment, he throws the bird up into the sky, and the bird goes up, and the eagle falls back down, and he starts flapping and fluttering on the ground, eating and acting like a chicken around the chicken coop. Don't let your circumstances determine your destiny of who you're meant to be in the eyes of God. If you've invited Christ into your life, then you are a new creation. You're meant to live at a higher level in this world. It's time to fly out of the chicken coop. Are you having a hard time looking upward? Has the enemy been able to wrestle you down to the ground with its weight? Have you been just knocked out of the sky when you were soaring gracefully and enjoying life? And all of a sudden the enemy just comes out of nowhere, wraps its claws around you out of the shadows, and just pulls you to the ground before you had a chance to fly toward the sun? Fly like an eagle instead of scratching on the ground. Maybe have you let God carry you on his wings? Have you trusted in others instead of counting on God to carry you on his wings? God can fly faster than you can fall. God can fly faster. And sometimes we may just need to fall on our knees. Fall on our knees and feel the wings of his love and feel the wind beneath our wings. Maybe it's just time to renew your strength in Christ. Have you lost your oil? Has it been dried up? Have you lost your anointing? Are your feathers falling out to keep you from soaring as you once did? Maybe the world has left calcium deposits, so to speak, on your lips that keep you silenced from praising the Father as you once did. What do you say we have a gathering of eagles this morning? If you need an anointing on those feathers this morning, then it's time you need to come to the rock. If your lips have been stuck together and you've been tight-lipped because the world has left its mark on you, you may just need to be renewed to them this morning. Come to the rock. This may be your morning to fly out of the chicken coop that you've been scratching in so long. This morning, come to the rock. Come to the rock this morning as we sing. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father, for taking care of us. Thank you, Father, for flying faster than we can fall, taking us to new levels, to see above the world, Father, and for renewing us, Father, when we dry up, when our heart becomes cold and bitter and hardened. Father, I would pray for that for all of us this morning. As we venture out into new places, as we soar into higher places, into new levels, I would pray that for all of us this morning. Father, I pray blessings over each of our family members this morning, for health, for your favor, for wisdom. Father, just please for blessings. Guide us throughout this week, Father. We pray in your most holy name. Amen.
My name is Christy. I'm Millie and Bill's daughter. And we went on vacation last month, and on the way to Red River, I got a call from my doctor that a test that I had ran came back abnormal, so they wanted to do a biopsy on me. So I came back from vacation. I had the biopsy done. It came back as having high risk for cancer. And so I started, you know, praying, giving it all over to God. And this week, I got a call back from my doctor, and they misread my biopsy. And I am low risk, and God is good. So, okay.
You can't tell me that God won't make a way for you. You! Thank you, Jesus.